everybody, and welcome to a special edition of Street Fight Radio. Since we put out the Patreon campaign, talk to you about donations, what you can get. You know, we have reached that $50 a month mark, so I've taken it upon myself to start doing interviews, bringing on somebody interesting once a month to add, you know, more to what you get, more content for all the support that we get. As a thank you, I'm going out of my way to find interesting people here. And I have someone this week that I'm very excited to talk to, someone that I know online, but is actually connected back to the roots of Columbus. Her name is Auntie Up on Twitter, A-N-N-T-I-E-U-P. She's interesting in so many different ways. Thank you, Auntie, for being here.
Sure, happy to be here.
So I think we first met because I was doing a Street Fight Live. Mm-hmm. Street Fight was going to do a CD, and I was looking for music. And at the time, you were in a feminist punk band.
Yes, I was. Wow, I forgot about that.
So what's the story on that?
Oh, man. Well, I was living in Honolulu, and, you know, I, like, didn't really know anybody there, because I moved there in 2010 and, like, didn't, like, have friends or whatever, like, just moved there, and I started making some friends and people that were interested in making music and whatever, and my friend Travis asked me if I wanted to be in a band with him. I was like, yeah, all right. So we just Perfect. Started like, a weird feminist punk band with two of our other friends, Alex and Steve. And actually, Steve is from Cincinnati, but went to Ohio State, so lived in Columbus for, like, we lived, like, three blocks away from each other for years and, like, never met. He actually worked at Hound Dogs, which is insane. But we didn't meet.
Wow.
Living on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Like, how does that happen?
That's awesome. That's some synchronicity.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, that's y'all were meant to be. That's awesome. What did you do in the band?
I was the vocalist and lyricist.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. And so you moved to Hawaii from Columbus, right?
Yes, indeed. I did.
Amazing. Our hometown. What we're most proud of, the capital of Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. It's the gem.
Shout out to Columbus forever.
Absolutely. What are some of your favorite places?
Oh, my God. Like, so many. But you know what's funny is I've been gone long enough now. I moved away in 2010, so I've been gone long enough now that, like, a lot of my favorite places are gone, which is, like, very weird.
True. Yeah, I've moved away as well, and it's shocking how quickly it moves. You're in DC. DC moves at an incredible pace, but Columbus is keeping up now. And the loss of Bernie's is...
Oh, my God. I was just going to say Bernie's. Like, I went there when I was a teenager. I saw Slater Kinney there in, like, 1999 when I was, like, 13. I saw freaking Against Me there in, like, 2003. Like, just, like, so
Whoa,
many...
that's... How dope was that?
Oh, my God. It was fucking amazing. It was, like, a secret show, too. So it was, like, you found out at the last minute. It was, like, $7 to get in. Like, it was just the craziest thing. Like, so that's they dope. Were... Like, favorite band at the time, so I was just, like, psyched beyond belief. And I was, at that point, living on campus because I was going to Ohio State, so I could just, like, you know, walk up the street and be right there. So awesome.
Yeah, I know. People still think Columbus is, like, a cow town. And we had a guy
on
Twitter said something, like, he said, no, man, I still fuck with Cowtown. I was like, Cowtown? Come on, man. That's not even true. That's awesome. Bernie's is, for people that don't know Columbus, famously has, like, one of the worst restrooms that has ever existed.
Oh.
And everything, the whole inside, it was an actual dive, completely blown apart place. But, I went there as a teen to go see friends' bands play. There would always be, like, battle of the bands, and anybody could get in, and everybody was drinking, and...
And in the late 90s,
it was a dope plan.
Early aughts, they had great, great, great booking. Like, whoever was doing the booking there was getting, like, Slater Kinney, Lawrence Arms, like, all the crazy bands that you would think, like, am I seeing these bands in a basement, like, right now? That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And Columbus, even, you know, the places before that, Mean Mr. Mustard was one that always old people always told me about, where older people in Columbus that had like Nirvana played there when, you know, some of their first shows were done there, and Pixies and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, there's a rich history of venues there in Columbus.
Little Brothers, too. I miss Little Brothers so much. Little Brothers was so dope.
Yeah, Little Brothers was amazing. I saw the Locust there.
Yep.
And I saw Blood Brothers there.
I was definitely at that show, P.S. I definitely went to that show.
It was awesome. Yeah, and that place was, you know, so small and just right there and in your face. And the bar was, you know, out of the way. It was just a big floor. It was a really good venue. I loved that place. Columbus has, you know, even Scully's now is putting on a lot of hip-hop shows. They brought on a lot of really real-deal talent over the last few years and have put a lot of bands out there that, that Newport wasn't or any of those stupid – those locations were.
I saw Brock at Little Brothers once, like right before they closed. I saw LP there too. Super great.
Oh, man, that would have been so fucking dope. You were right there. I mean, it's just – that was like hanging out in a gym with them.
Yep, it's awesome. LP invited us like on his tour bus to party after the show, and I was like, "Yeah, sure." And Thomas was like, "No, we gotta go."
Oh man, come on, Thomas.
It was the correct choice, but like,
Yeah, sometimes you gotta do it. Sometimes you gotta pull back from that.
I know.
Dangerous. That's awesome. Yeah, I think I'm actually going to be planning on moving back in Columbus. I haven't really mentioned on the show, but we're moving on, planning on coming back because there is so much to it. You're in Baltimore now, right?
Yep. Yeah.
How do you think that compares? Do you feel?
You know, I feel like Baltimore. So before I moved here, I was living in Hawaii. Obviously, I'm like, I've been in Hawaii for like almost 4 years, so I was like kind of disconnected from the mainland in general, and like had only been to Baltimore one time, and like was like googling a bunch of stuff and like trying to figure out like what neighborhoods to look at to rent a place and whatever. And I was like reading a bunch of stuff on the internet that was like really kind of scary, but I also was like, is this just racist or is it like actually that bad? And when we got here, I was like, oh, like this is just like Cleveland. I get it. Like, I think Baltimore and Cleveland are very, very similar. And I spent a lot of time in Cleveland, like, as a kid and as a young adult. So I was like, when we got here, I was like, oh, okay. Like, I get it. This makes sense to me.
Yeah, I agreed. D.C. is, I mean, obviously super dangerous in some parts, but also had that similar vibe where people seemed to be afraid of all of D.C.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I think it's a little much, you know?
Yeah, people are a little bit reactionary. But then again, I mean, like, I grew up in Whitehall, which, like, for those of you not familiar with Columbus, is, like, not a great neighborhood. So, like,
Whitehall, if you don't know, most dangerous city in Ohio for the year of 2015, actually.
What up, hometown? I've, like, never lived in, like, a fancy neighborhood, you know what I mean? So I think that skews my perspective a little bit, too, because I'm just, like, I'm not, like, a person that expects that, really, so... You know, it's fine.
Yeah, no, it's the same. Yeah, the same here. When I grew up in Columbus, and you know, it was just like you just pretend like you fit in. I mean, just you do. I mean, just don't make just don't be there, and then don't be around, you know, the dumbass people at the dumbass times too.
Exactly. Just don't be an idiot. It'll be fine. The same way. Like, just don't be stupid, and you'll probably be okay. I mean, I think a lot more people I know here in Baltimore, unfortunately, have been like the victims of crime, whether it's like, you know, like break-ins to their car or their house, or like, you know, I've known a fair amount of people that have been actually mugged, which like is really scary. But you know, knock on wood, like we've been here like 2.5 years and I haven't had any problems at all. So.
Well, good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What was I going to talk about next? Oh, yes. I wanted to talk about the organization you work with there in Baltimore.
Yep.
What's the name of it?
So I am on the board of directors and actually helped start the Baltimore Abortion Fund.
Okay. And so that's raising proceeds to pay for the cost for women to get abortions?
Yeah, pretty much. We are really kind of bare bones. We started, I think we got our IRS official 501c3 designation about 2 years ago. So when we got our 501c3, that means that people can donate to us and it's tax deductible, which is obviously like a huge driver for people to donate because, you know, you're going to donate and write it off on your taxes. So about 6 months after we got that, then we set up our hotline. So yeah, essentially, you know, we don't have any paid staff or anything like that. You know, all of our board are volunteers. Everybody who works on our hotline is a volunteer. So yeah, we're just really like just raising money and trying to send it back out to the community, to the people that need it.
That's great. So was there what drove you to fulfill this need? I mean, what's the situation, I guess, like in Baltimore? I mean, I know it varies from state to state. I was in Texas before, and I was friends with, you know, nurses that were working at Planned Parenthoods that were being shut down, and yeah. I was seeing legislation like literally taking these rights away, and you know, and a lot of other things, mostly, you know, just regular health care for women. That's what, you know, I've been so passionate about with some of the people I know that are so pro-life, is just to say, like, Planned Parenthood is not, you know, a target you want to go after. It's just, you know, it provides too much to the community and to me as well. I mean, even when I was with my ex, she worked at a Catholic hospital, so mm-hmm. she wasn't allowed to get any of her birth control covered by the health care. So we had to go through Planned Parenthood to get it. That's how the only way we could afford it.
Right.
And so, I mean, the reach is out there, and the issue is really about, you know, these abortions, and so what's your main focus, or what was the need that was there? I guess I don't know how I'm trying to ask that. I'm getting lost.
Well, I think you know, I've done like sort of like feminist or like women's rights focus work for a long time. I like had my first like quote unquote like grown up job. I worked at a battered women's shelter in Columbus on the East Side. And, you know, sort of continued that when I moved to Hawaii. I got a job at Planned Parenthood in Hawaii, like working on the advocacy and public policy side. And so when I quit my job in Planned Parenthood and moved here to Baltimore to take this job that I have now, the job that I have now is not so directly connected to, like, women's health stuff. So I felt like I still wanted to do something that was connected to that, just because I've been doing it for so long. It's been like at least 10 years at this point that I've been involved in like women's rights stuff in some way. So that's the first reason, is just like my own, like, I need to do something. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
In Maryland, you know, we're pretty lucky. Like, I think, you know, we obviously don't have it as bad as states like Texas or Ohio, where, like, you know, state legislatures are passing all these terrible bills that, like, roll back, you know, access and roll back choice and roll back, like, the ways that people get health care. Obviously, that's not, I mean, you know, knock on wood, that's not really going to happen in Maryland. We're a pretty blue state. But the thing about Baltimore is that we're so, so poor in Baltimore City. Like, we have such concentrated poverty that, you know, people that are facing having to get an abortion when they're, you know, 35% of the population of Baltimore City lives below the poverty line. Like, it's just, the need is so huge, you know, coming up with $400, $450, which is about, you know, the least you're ever going to pay for an abortion. That's like the starting point. It can go like multiple thousands of dollars in some cases. But I mean, coming up with $400, $450 when you're making minimum wage or you're, you know, on public benefits, like, that's not easy for a lot of people. So,
well, to say the least, yeah. I mean, I never have $400.
Right.
To spare.
I mean,
not to heap any of that on myself. But I feel like it's so obvious. I'm glad you said it, even though I asked in the most awkward way. But that's exactly what I was looking for, because it's, you know, a lot of our listeners I know are aware of these issues, but you know, you really have to be reminded. I think sometimes of why you speak up and why you make this an issue, and you know, your drive is very inspiring to me, and your commitment to it, and then, you know, to then, you know, acknowledge this is a real gap in society that needs to be filled. Like, somebody has to do it. There's really no other way. You know, we can't just wish that someone would take care of it, because that's not what's happening.
Right.
So it's still cost prohibitive,
and a lot of times it comes
down just to money. I mean, that's all that needs to happen, is money needs, a transaction needs to happen, exactly, for someone to be taken care of.
Exactly. And until we fix the, you know, the systemic issues that contribute to, like, not only somebody not having $400 in savings or not being able to come up with that money short term, but also, like, the systemic issues that, like, for example, you know, bar all federal funding for abortion. You know, until we fix that stuff, there's always going to be a need for people to be raising money to help people pay for their care. Like, there's just no other way to do it right now. You know,
it's just, right.
It's not a good situation, but, you know, I think I was really drawn to, so there's a national network of abortion funds, of which the Baltimore Abortion Fund is a part, and I've had some friends that work with other abortion funds. My friend works with one in Portland, Oregon, and I think part of the reason that I was so drawn to this particular, like, way to be involved is just the sort of, like, grassroots feel of it. Like, it's really about community power and, like, coming together to address this problem in our society rather than being, like, a, you know, like a kind of, like, corporate-ist nonprofit, which, like, I have worked at a lot of those over the years, and, like, nothing against nonprofits at all. But I was sort of looking for something a little more grassroots, a little more connected to the community. So it's been really
straightforward, instead of worrying about building a bureaucracy around
exactly.
the problem, just getting the most money to the problem.
Yep.
That's more direct action.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And what's the website there if people want to go donate?
It is baltimoreabortionfund.org.
All right, baltimoreabortionfund.org. I'll add a link in the show notes, and you'll see them on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff too. I'll put them out there.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem at all. Glad to. And what was I going to say next? I think that was all. Was there any other issue that you wanted to get in there that I maybe missed or anything? Or I don't know. I'm not as intricately involved with a lot of that stuff. So.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think I would just say, you know, like, if you, you know, live in a place that is particularly impacted by problems with abortion access, you know, Texas, the Deep South, like Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, things have gotten really bad in Ohio, too, which, like, really bothers me because it's my home state. And I also feel that Ohio doesn't get a lot of media attention for how bad things have gotten there, but it is very bad.
Right.
I would really encourage you to, you know, look up your abortion fund and donate if you can, or, you know, volunteer or, like, get involved. It's super, super important, you know. I mean, people in especially places like Texas and Ohio are just... It's really hard. I mean, you know, I've read a lot of media stories where, like, women in Texas are having to, like, go across the border and, like, get, like, sketchy, like, drugs that may or may not induce an abortion because they can't, like, get to it or they can't afford it in the United States. Like, it's just it's a lot. So
yeah, that's true. Unacceptable. And all of you heathens that are listening to this, you don't go to church or anything. So take an hour a week. You don't even got to donate or spend a dime. Take an hour a week and go answer a phone or go help them make a graphic or you know, help them out in some way, an organization in some way.
Yep.
So since it's tied into it, and Brian and I don't really talk about it a lot, but I wanted to maybe have a discussion with you about feminism in the 21st century in 2016, summer 16.
Oh boy.
What's going on with feminism? just because, you know, I've explained it, I think, on the show a little before. I don't know how much you've listened, but I don't necessarily call myself a feminist because I think a lot of guys are being very performative when they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of them also end up being creeps.
Totally agree.
So I just, that's where I am at. But having my daughter, unfortunately, that's what it takes for a lot of guys, and I'm one of those oafs. But having a daughter has really... changed my perspective on everything and has, you know, opened my eyes to so much more of what's going on in the world in that direction. And, you know, I just try to stay up on it, but...
No, it makes sense. You want the best for your family, right? And, like, I mean, I think the thing that bothers me the most
hold on a second. You're breaking up.
Okay.
Talk now.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, it's better.
Okay. I think the thing, I mean, people are free not to identify with, like, the word feminist. I mean, I think the word feminist is really loaded, and it has a lot of connotations, particularly to, like, you know, white feminism that has, like, you know, traditionally excluded the voices of, you know, non-binary people, trans people, people of color. Like, the word feminist is, like, very loaded, and I totally get it if people don't want to claim that, but not sort of being invested or caring about the rights of, you know, women and queer people and trans people. Like, I don't get it. I mean, everybody in the world has women in their life, whether it's your mom, your wife, your daughter, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, and, you know, the fact is, like, there are so many things that are still happening and continue to happen to women and trans people and women of color that are so systemic and so wrong that I really can't imagine a world in which, like, I'm not trying to fight back against that. I've known too many people that have gone through terrible things because of their gender. Like, I just can't, like, it's like the thing that I'm doing, you know, I can't.
Yo, I absolutely agree with you, and that's how I feel my part in it is. It is more of a cultural thing, or it's a more societal thing, and I, you know, bills and laws and any of those equal rights type thing, of course, I'm always for, but at the same time, I think that it does come down to a little bit of, you know, listening, like for guys, for me, just listening to, you know, listening to what's being said, yeah, and then applying it, and then also holding dudes accountable, because, yeah, you know, when we're around other guys, I mean, it gets really fucking horrible. I mean, it can get really bad pretty quickly. And, you know, I know now, and I think once I had more skin in the game with my daughter, it's like, it's easier for me to tell people, like, that's not cool. You know, it's not fucking cool to, you know, there's no reason we should demean people for being, we should be saying, like, cocksucker anymore. There's no reason that we should be, like, there's, you know, you guys shouldn't be talking about cheating on your spouses. You know, women are hoes, bitches, all this stuff. It's like, it does add up to me. I kind of see where it's like, you know, it is harmless when it's part of our language, you know. So much of our language is aimed at, like, violence towards women even, you know. Mm-hmm.
And it feeds directly into the way that we are treated by, like, so many institutions and so many, like, systems in the world. You know, I was thinking earlier this week, because I knew we were going to talk about, like, feminism and stuff, I was thinking about, like, what was, like, the thing that, like, made me realize, like, that something was wrong and I needed to, like, do something or be involved in some kind of struggle to change things. And I was trying to think, because it's like, it's been a part of my life for so long, but I remembered, and it's when I think I was maybe 14 or 15, my best friend in high school, she had skipped school and gone home early with this guy that she liked, and he sexually assaulted her, he raped her, and she went to the cops, of course, because we're 14, 15, and we don't know what else to do, you know, you go to the cops, right? Like, and yeah, they
makes sense.
They didn't.
It's a crime.
Yeah, they didn't believe her because she had skipped school to go home with him. So they were like,
oh my God.
Of course she would have wanted it. And so, of course, you know, nothing was done. And, you know, she was ostracized at school and everyone was slut-shaming her. And it was just, like, the worst possible thing. And I was, you know, I was just in disbelief. Like, how could this person that's, like, my best friend that I love, that has been part of my life for so long, like, she was the victim of violence. Like, how can this be her fault? How could people turn this around and make this her fault when it's, like, and then you see this guy that did this to her being, you know, he has a totally normal life, like, celebrated, like, everything's cool, like, he's got a great life. And meanwhile, you know, she's been traumatized, she's crying every day, like, no one will help her, no one will believe her, like, it was just the worst.
Yeah, and it's all, and you know, that's what I feel, that's why, for me, when guys are alone and talking, that's why we have to not make everyone think, I can't let other guys think that if they get someone to go into a room with them, that they get to have sex with them.
Yes.
You know, like, that's the implication is this young girl, what, should have watched movies from the 1950s about you shouldn't skip schools with boys, or skip class with boys? I mean.
Right, that's not how it works. It's,
yeah.
Permission just by spending time with them. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, and it's true for me, and I, you know, I'm a sensitive guy, and I have had a lot of female friends, through, you know, working and just through life, and the amount of times that I've heard of, you know, some sort of abuse like that happening, and then someone being a shithead about it, or, you know, being pushed to the side, is just maddening.
Yeah,
and you know, it's something I don't really want to ignore.
Yeah.
I don't ignore. I mean, I don't, you know, like, we do the show, and I don't want to speak up for women or anything, but, you know, I try to read and pay attention when I can, and, you know, we definitely have to address a lot of this shit, and based upon who we're going up against, I mean, it's, you know, it's it's real. I mean, I got called basically be a punk bitch for being a stay-at-home dad by someone that's real close to me. Someone tried to rip me and say that I was like less than a man, and that, you know, my wife, that, you know, I was taking advantage of my wife. You know, I had like, I was a slob and, you know, lazy and all of that. So I don't know, man.
It directly speaks to like what we consider like women's work and what we consider like worthwhile, you know, like,
yeah.
People don't say that when women stay home with their kids, because that's what women are like traditionally expected to do. But when you put that on its head and a woman chooses to pursue a career and, you know, the male in the relationship chooses to stay home, all of a sudden the work that the man is doing is not worthy because it's supposed to be women's work. Like, it's just so stupid. I mean, it hurts everybody, you know, like,
yeah.
That's the point that I like really try to like get across, especially when I'm talking to people that are not, you know, as familiar with this kind of thing, is like, you know, the sexism and racism and, you know, homophobia and transphobia and all these things, like, they hurt everybody. They hurt men just as much as they hurt women.
Well, and it's so fucking, it's so limiting too, where it's like you're living in a cage of your gender, where it's like, now that you're a guy, you're going to be miserable if there's dancing on.
Right.
Or if like a musical theater happens, you're going to feel uncomfortable. Like, just because you've been told that, and they, you know, you've been told that your whole life, and we've been brought up in a culture that, you know, still puts out some very weird messages to kids.
Yeah.
And, like, about their gender.
Or like, you have to like bottle up all your emotions and you can't express anything because like, you're not tough if you have feelings. Like, that's the dumbest thing. Like, it discourages communication. It like discourages healthy relationships. Like, it's just so terrible.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like so many people are on edge buying into like that sitcom type, you know, we're button heads all the time.
Totally.
It's like, relax and enjoy your life.
Totally. It's like, let people be fine. Like,
yeah.
Just, like, live your, you know, just like let people live their lives. It's all good.
Yeah, let them live. What else were we going to talk about here? Oh, I wanted to ask you about your controversial opinions on Views by Drake.
Oh my God. I listen to Views literally all day today. So, great time.
Really?
Yeah. I have a cubicle job, so some days where I don't have a lot of meetings, I just like sit in my cubicle and do my work and like listen to Drake on my headphones all day long. It's pretty great.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. I think for me, I initially was like, wow, this is really long.
It is. I felt the same way at first. I was like, holy shit, how many songs?
Yeah. But the way that I've mastered it is now I just hit shuffle. Because I still haven't had any. I haven't had to skip.
Yeah.
You know, like every song that comes on, I enjoy enough. You know, like it's still like it's Drake enough. You know, it's up to the standards. So it's pretty good on shuffle, and I agree. I like it too.
I have to say, I haven't gone down the shuffle route. I have just been listening to it straight through every time.
Really?
What I do is, like, repeat the songs that I do like, 4 or 5 times before I go to the next one.
Oh.
So, what the heck?
See, and my shit, my jam, see, okay, mine of my favorite Drake ever is Know Yourself.
Oh, yeah.
When Know Yourself came out, that was, like, I think that's the song that, like, will make me worship that dude forever. That's what
social media bios forever. Like, Know Yourself, Know Your Worth.
That's, yeah. And so I think Redemption is one of my favorite tracks. And then what's the other one I like? What's your faves on there?
Oh my gosh, I was just trying to pull up the track list to remember what this song is called. I listened to Feel No Ways like 10 times today. So I like that song a lot. I also really love Still Here because it's just like a straight banger, like Drake being at his, like, fuck you best, where he's like, yeah, started from the bottom, like, now I'm successful as shit, and all my crew is here. I love that, Drake.
But yeah, I also love... Yeah, that is the best feeling.
You know, I also love Feelings, Drake, where he's like, girl, like, you know, I love that Drake, too, so... I don't know, I feel like people...
Yeah,
I was reading some reviews of the record, and people were like, ugh, it's like the same stuff that he always talks about. And I'm like, yeah, like, hate to break it to you, but that's like what Drake does. It's fine.
Yeah, he's getting more precise, though. Like, I feel like if you start at the beginning of his career and get to now, it's becoming way more laser focused. And that's why I feel like this, that's why I feel this album is good on shuffle, because like they all have that Drake quality stamp on them. So, I mean, some are better than others. Pop Style is amazing to me. That's one that I can just turn off all the lights and put on my headphones.
Yep.
Totally. Do a light show in the bathroom to that.
I do love like his like Caribbean influence songs. Like Controla is so good. So good.
It is good. Yeah, he knows. I mean, he knows how to bite the rhythm.
Yep.
It was good. Any other good music in 2016 that you like?
Oh man. I really like Beyonce's Lemonade, of course. Totally amazing. Nuts. Like,
what was that?
Oh, the visual album that she put out. Oh my god. Oh. Like Beyonce smashing car windows with a baseball bat, like, yes, forever. Oh my god, so good.
Yeah. And then the monster truck too. I was raised on monster trucks, so
same.
I appreciate that.
Same. I also really, really liked Rihanna's new album. It's really, really good.
Anti?
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, that one song with that song, You Take Me, You Make Me Feel Hot, You Take Me High or something, higher than I've ever been.
Yeah, I can't remember the name, but
yeah, that one is dope.
Yeah, that song Needed Me, where she's got like the real dark, like spacey beat with Travis Scott on it. Oh, it's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a good one, too. Yeah, I did like that. That was a good one as well. So what was your – let's talk about another one, because this is – you uniquely have all the same influences that Street Fight has. So you know your hip-hop game. But what are your punk rock favorites? Like, what are your all-time punk rock, hardcore, emo, screamo, whatever it may be?
Oh, man. Let's see. Sleater-Kinney, of course. I've loved Sleater-Kinney forever and ever and ever. I got to see them on their reunion tour last year in Philly, and like I cried like two songs in. Like that is just like means more to me than like a lot of others. What else?
They get it all.
Yeah, Against Me, like forever, and Laura Jean Grace's new stuff is really good too. Like she's amazing. I really love Sonic Youth. That's a little bit of a departure, but Sonic Youth, I think, was probably my biggest influence when I was in a band. Like, I really love Kim Gordon and that whole, like, spacey sound.
Yeah, with noise.
Yeah, noisy, spacey, loud, like, all of that I love.
Yeah, it's an art form.
Those are probably the biggest three. I'm like totally blanking right now trying to think of others because all I listened to was Drake today, so
everything else. Okay, let me ask you this. Misfits are getting back together. What do you think about that?
I don't care. I know. Okay. I saw the whole internet blow up about it today and I was like, really, who cares? Like just like a bunch of old dudes that need to pay a mortgage. That's fine. Like do your thing. And like I'm stoked for the people that are stoked, you know what I mean? Like you get to see your favorite band and I know how that feels, but they were never like a band that I really super cared about, so
yeah. Like, I'm not into the old guys doing it over again, really. I've never been able to get into it. I'm really into like modern music, even when it comes to, you know, I'm gonna listen to something that came out today. I'm like American Nightmare or somebody that's around now.
American Nightmare is great.
Or Municipal Waste, any of that stuff. Who?
A Ceremony? I love Ceremony. Oh my god.
Ceremony? I don't know them. I have to listen to them.
They're a hardcore band from like the Bay Area. They're fucking great. They kind of started like Power Violence-y. Now they're like on this like Joy Division trip, but I like it all. It's all really good.
Yeah, that's nice when they can just switch it up and you can go along with it.
Total Control from Australia. They're a punk band. They're so fucking great.
All right, awesome. Let me see here. So I don't think I had anything else on my agenda. Thank you for coming on the show and hanging out. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is fun.
Well, actually, let me get into this a little bit. I wanted to ask you, so what keeps you, like, what is your, like, personal goals or personal rules for like success? Like what keeps you, for people that want to be a badass feminista that used to be in a punk band and now work, you know, for an abortion fund, like what do you do? What keeps you going? Like how do you stay on task and you not get beaten down by the man and patriarchy?
I mean, it is really hard. And I think like the first thing is just like knowing that it's going to be hard, like not expecting it not to be hard. And like knowing what you're in for is a big thing that I try to remember. Like, and I also try to remember that like I chose to do this. I mean, I do feel a lot of responsibility to do it, but I also know that like if it gets bad enough, I can walk away and there are enough other people that care about this stuff that like the world's not going to fall apart. You know, I think that's right. Like, biggest thing is like not feeling alone, like finding your people and like finding people that support you and that believe in the things that you do. That's huge, huge, huge for me. And then the other thing is just like making time and having hobbies and interests outside of it. So for me, that's like NBA basketball, which I'm very into. Like if I watch a basketball game, it's like, if I watch a basketball,
you want
to
get on the
like totally disconnected from everything related to work. So that's like a very good thing for me to like just take 2 hours and like think about how cool Russell Westbrook's outfit is, you know? Like,
yes, yes. Yeah, you need that, definitely, that time away. Yeah, you've kept me up on, you're my NBA expert on my Twitter. I don't have many of them.
I know, me neither.
let me get one more in here now that I'm sneaking in these loaded questions. I got another one I remembered. this is the idea actually Brian and I have wanted to create or archive this for a very long time, but because we are open-minded, like, smash-the-state type anarchy dudes, what is your idea of, like, utopia as far as government is concerned or as far as society is concerned? How would you like to see things organized? What does that sound like to you?
That's a great question. You know, I have, like, dabbled with a lot of things. I was, you know, an InfoShop-going anarchist for a while. You know, I was like real into like Noam Chomsky when I was in high school and like all of this. I think at this point in life, like I'm much more of a pragmatist. Not that I want to say that like things are okay the way they are, because they're obviously not. But I also think that, you know, there's a lot that can be done to make things better within the current framework, recognizing that like, you know, a large scale revolution or like change, I mean, absent anything really, really terrible happening in the world, is like not super likely, right? So, I mean, I think ideally, like, I think politically where I fall closest to these days is probably a socialist. But at the same time, like, again, recognizing where we are in the world, I'm sort of like on the pragmatist side of things. Like, what can we actually do today to try to make things better for people?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I agree with that. I understand. Okay. I understand that. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Once again, Annie Up on Twitter, ANNTIEUP, and BaltimoreAbortionFund.org is the place to send your dollars if you want to help some people in need. What song, what's your jam? What's the Drake jam you want to go out on? I'm going to play a song, your song.
Definitely Today Still Here.
Today Still Here?
No, sorry. Still Here is the song.
Oh, still here.
On today.
Bye, Drake. Enjoy. We will be back next week. Find everything we do at streetfightradio.com. Peace.
Yeah. Me and all my. Yeah. Me. Yeah. Me and all my niggas doing well, dawg. You not from the city, I could tell, dawg. Did it by myself, dawg. Blew up and I'm in the city still, I'm still here, dawg. How did I finesse all of this shit from Jane and Weston? Girls all in my bed and they don't trip off first impression. Girls all in your bed and they just ask a 100 question. I can't fuck with you no more cause you be acting extra. Do your favorite rapper. But like my son, no. Nothing mutual about my funds, though. All you niggas fighting over crumbs, where the bread at? How they feel about you, where you from, where your bed at? I don't need no pill to speak my mind. I don't need that. I make people pay me for my time. Yeah, I need that. And I see your girl like all the time, no. I can't tell you if she's yours or mine, but I do know. Me and all my niggas doing well, dawg. You not from the city, I could tell, dawg. Did it by myself, dawg. Blew up and I'm in the city still, I'm still here, dawg. Oh, and I'm back, dawg. Oh, you just went and turned your back, dawg. I thought that we were family. You show me that we can be. I gotta talk to God even though he isn't near me. Based on what I got, it's hard to think that he don't hear me. Hitting like that 30 on my jersey, man, I'm gifted. Whole lot of sixes, but I'm still like, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 6-point star, Lion of the Judah. All my niggas ain't off, rockin' Gucci. One do it, then we all gotta do it. Got the key and now the door's open and we all going through it. Whole city at your head for the boy. I ain't even got a car known for it. Me and all my niggas doing well, dawg. You not from the city, I could tell, dawg. Did it by myself, dawg. Blew up and I'm in the city still, I'm still.